Mo, come here, buddy. You're going to be in the movies.
And the person interviewing me wrote those words down, looked up from his piece of paper and said to me, "So do you think we're going to like that?"
Yeah, I do what I do today, Kathy, because of a fourth grade field trip.
No credit to me, just me fumbling along with what I knew at the time and the dog being very forgiving of my mistakes.
It's Women's History Month, so how can I possibly let the month go by without acknowledging that? Thing is, I'm participating in a bunch of different really remarkable experiences this month. My friend Brandy is hosting a full month of activities in her Facebook group. I'm speaking in a couple of places. I'm posting some stuff online. So I was thinking about how can I recognize Women's History Month here on Talk Unleashed. I went back through some old blog posts. I was looking for what topics maybe could I revisit, what could I revive. And I came across a blog post that I wrote in 2015. I wrote it after I was actually subjected to a hate crime that was targeting me in part because I am a woman. What was interesting was my experience of reading my own blog post. It's pretty earth-shattering. So in this week's episode, I dig into taking a stand for unity, taking a stand for compassion, and taking a stand for what it means to sit in the face of opposition and to actually try to meet the person in the middle. Right about now, you may be rolling your eyes. You may be thinking about hitting the stop button or not even listening, but I invite you to get comfortable being a little bit uncomfortable today. And extra credit points if you listen all the way through. It's another fun ride. I'm Kathy Brooks, and this is Talk Unleashed. Back in 2015, I was the victim of a hate crime. It happened during Women's History Month, which is what's brought it to my mind these days. I was on a radio show, an NPR interview, panel of women to celebrate women's accomplishments. And as part of that interview, one of the things that came up was that I'm gay. The hate calls to my office line began not long after the show went off the air. It was a terrifying time, actually. I had never been called the things that I was called in those voicemails or seen in those texts, at least not to my face. And I got Metro involved, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, their hate crime unit, and it went on for a couple of days. And their counsel to me was, of course, because it was phone calls, they could track the person. Their suggestion, since the threats were direct enough to have led me to call, but not so direct for them to take immediate action. Their recommendation was to let it sit for a day or two, and that if it persisted past that, they would take action. But they said typically these things go away, and that if they were to reach out to these people, it could actually make the problem worse. Thankfully for me, the people did end up getting redirected or turning their hatred on someone else. I bring it up because something really interesting happened for me yesterday. I was going back through my old blog and just looking at some old posts and seeing what topics I've been writing about or what I had been writing about and where might there be topics that I get to revisit and that sort of thing. And I came across this post. And what I realized in reading it was how much hate I was pointing right back at the people who had pointed hate toward me. And in doing that, it made me just like them. Now, I may not have threatened them. I may not have called them the kind of overt insults that they called me. But I did. It was really interesting for me to see. I had this perspective that somehow, because I was on the right side of history, that I was permitted to respond to them in derogatory language, that I was somehow permitted to turn hatred and anger and judgment toward them. And what I've come to realize is whether or not someone is right or wrong is irrelevant, that my response to them is what matters. In answering their hate with hate, what I did was perpetuate the hate, the energy of it, the concept of it, all of that. Now, do they read my blog? Did they read my blog? I don't know. Probably not. But I contributed to it. And that was an interesting thing. You know, in this particular post, it was the middle of a particularly ugly presidential election cycle. And for part of that, I sat very quiet. And when I did start to speak, I spoke with anger and fury and judgment. And though I may not have been speaking in language of bigotry and misogyny and racism and xenophobia, I was in some way, no, not really that different. That I was confronting the behavior of people who I was judging as bullies with a bullying of my own. And I'm looking at the original text of the post that I wrote, and boy, was that an eye-opener for me. So, like, what do we do with that? What do you do when people come at you with hatred like that? Like, what do I do with it? So I'm taking a course right now that is being taught by a fellow named Shirzad Shamin. He is an executive coach, a former tech entrepreneur and CEO who became a coach and has built a remarkable program around positive intelligence. This idea that much like we have IQ, our intellectual intelligence, that there is a part of our brain. And I'm not talking about emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is something that has 12 different competencies toward building emotional intelligence. I'm talking about something that is foundational to emotional intelligence, the idea that the human brain is fundamentally wired in a fight or flight survival sort of mode, except the thing is that most things in our lives are not out to get us. Except we are fueled to believe that they are. And increasingly so, we are fueled to look at the negative. And that his practice proposes that by strengthening my own mind's ability to evaluate each so-called threat through a reasonable lens, I am able to find a more, he describes it as a sage or wise response. That I am able to look at the thing that is triggering me and deal with it in a more balanced way. One of the practices that he talks about specifically related to things like conflict resolution is this really interesting exercise. When I step to the table with someone where I know there already is conflict and disagreement, when I step to the table with them, I come to the table understanding and believing that they are at least 10% correct in their view, that there is at least a 10% truth to what they say. Now, when it comes to things like xenophobia, racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, homophobia, you might say, how the fuck can I sit down with somebody who says, you're a Jew, so I should kill you. You're gay, and so you're a sin in the eyes of God. How can I possibly sit across from somebody? They're not 10% right. So here's where I go with it. What if someone just doesn't know? What if it's all they've ever learned? What if the only perspective that they have is based on the exposure that they've had, which may have been limited? What if I come to the table assuming that for that person, they're 10% right? That doesn't mean that I am wrong, that their perspective has nothing to do with me. So I can feel the eye rolls. I can feel you kind of shrugging. By now, maybe you just turned the episode off. If you're still listening, awesome. Because I've been just as guilty of this. When I looked at the original blog post I wrote to this violent hatred that came at me. Fucking dyke, get the fuck out of town. You've got no place here. You don't belong. You're not welcome. I called them bigots. I called them sophomoric. I called them narrow-minded. even using words like sophomoric was my attempt to make some statement of my intelligence over theirs. We're all afraid of something. Different people's fear manifests in different ways. And we live in a society right now that is particularly ugly, and it has gotten worse since this experience I had in 2015, exponentially worse. So where do we go? What do we do next? What's the answer? I have no fucking idea. I don't know what the answer is in the big picture, but I know what the answer is for me. The answer is me looking at my own behavior and trying to find some kind of understanding, acceptance. When I accept someone, it doesn't mean I condone them. It doesn't mean I agree with them, but it does mean I see them. And there will be some people who, no matter what you do or say or how open-minded or generously you come to the table, there are going to be some people who just aren't interested because their commitment to being right is more important to them. And they exist on both ends of the spectrum. My own family is a perfect example. To them, the Democratic Party can do no wrong. I don't agree. To them, the Republican Party is the greatest of all Satans. I don't agree. I actually think that both parties are party to this problem. They're spewing flame on the kerosene that they poured. So where does it stop? I can't stop the world, but I can certainly stop it with me. I can look at what I post online and be mindful of what that impact is going to be. And I can be curious about those people who would call me a fucking dyke. I can look and maybe imagine them as a child and where that hatred may have come from. I mean, some of you may think I'm about a little crazy right about now, and perhaps that's true. If the intention is to move toward a society where there's some increased level of respect for other people, then I get to be that also. It doesn't matter with whom I've spoken in the last 6 to 8 months, but every conversation, almost every conversation I seem to have had, seems to end up in the same place, that the world is fucked up, that people are at each other's throats, and that no one likes it. No one. And some of the conversations I've had with people have turned out to be people who are diametrically opposed for me. So where's the fucking problem here, people? I mean, come on. If the one thing that we can all agree on is that things are quantifiably, categorically, and generally speaking, fucked up these days, I mean, there are places in the United States where people can't even drink water out of the tap and probably haven't been able to for some time, where the water is poisoned, where the air is toxic, where kids are getting shot in school. I mean, I think we can pretty much all agree that this isn't exactly the kind of world we want to live in. So if we all agree that that's the case, or at least most of us agree, then the thing in the way is that people are too attached to their way of solving the problem. So what if everybody is at least 10% right? What if? It's a pretty remarkable thought, right? That I sit across from somebody who, under most circumstances, I would want to reach across the table and grab them by the face. And instead I can see that despite the fact that we disagree, there's at least 10% of something that they're saying or how they're saying it, or maybe the motivation of why they're saying it, or the catalyst that led them to the thought, whatever it is, that 10% of something in there is correct or accurate or in alignment with me, then that at least gives a place to start. So if I can start there, I can probably find some meaningful resolution. So that post that I wrote, I've rewritten it. Well, I didn't go back and rewrite the original post, but I took the original post and reimagined it for where I am today. And the link to that post is in the show notes. My guess is that at some point in this episode, you've thought to yourself, Kathy, just know, because when that incredibly insert here the person who you find offensive says whatever, they're wrong. They're just absolutely wrong. I get it. You're talking to somebody who's been called a dyke, a kike, a dirty Jew, a stupid bitch, an ugly bitch. I've been called all kinds of things in my life. Some of them not so terribly long ago. But if I come at it from the perspective of hating the person who said it and making them wrong for it, I'm no better than they are. And that doesn't make me wrong. It just means I get to be curious about myself too. So as always, my friends, I invite you to be curious about the motivation that you have for saying or thinking that thing about that person, as well as maybe being curious about how they got to where they are and seeing if maybe, just maybe, you can get curious enough to find the alignment. Here we are, the end of another episode.
So sad.
But it's not really, because there is an entire library of Talk Unleashed podcast episodes you can enjoy, and a whole bunch more yet to come. Make sure you don't miss any. Subscribe, follow, heck, set up a carrier pigeon network if you like. Whatever it takes, just make sure you don't miss any of these conversations. And since conversations do require dialogue, meaning to, meaning back and forth, I want to hear from you. Who would you like to hear from? What topics would you like to hear addressed? Drop a line to talkunleashed@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Catch you next week.